This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. You can take your seat. And you're so aware of the Lord really want to speak into our lives, really want to touch us right in those situations, the things that we pray about, the things that we trust God for, and some things that we lost hope. Or we're not praying about it anymore. I remember praying for people for many years, and then I think Lee was specifically praying for a friend, and after 9 years we got a note and say, thank you for those prayers. I responded to the love of God, and I decided to follow Jesus. That was 9 years of just praying and praying and praying, and there's many other stories like that of breakthroughs and things that came sometimes after a long while and sometimes just quickly. But God is always close. I just think about that as children or as babies, you know, when you are naughty, we think that the parents will respond. If they hear us, they will respond. If we do something that's not right, they will respond. And that's almost a sign that they are close. And sometimes we take that to God. We think that if God is not responding, if we don't hear His voice right now, He's not close to us. But He is close. I just felt that for someone, God is close and He knows about your situation. Even though He seems to be quiet at the moment, He knows. And He will step in at any time. Just quickly, I just want to, the last while we had a lot of messages. Also our convergence. Christelle came here, she spoke about just spending time with the Lord, just being, taking time out, sitting a whole weekend, sitting with God, listening to Him. Then Mark Simpson also, he spoke a word of just our whole lives can be dedicated to God everywhere, wherever we are. I love that something that he mentioned, that it's all one. Our work, church, family, it's all kingdom. It's all kingdom. There's no boxes. It's all one. Business, everything is kingdom. And then we had this amazing conference. Really want to just say again, go and listen to those messages. Sometimes we move a bit quickly through these things. We go from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. It's just amazing, and we just go on and on and on. But I believe it's a time for us to just to stand still and just reflect on the Word. Just reflect a bit on what God is saying to us individually and as a church. And from that Friday night, Courtney Becker, when he started out talking about the original sin of envy, and Rick Rousseau, I loved him. I studied a bit his preaching through the years. So I was just on the side. I was convinced he's got notes in his Bible. You know, he walks around and he's paging and he's reading the Word. So the one evening at conference, I said, Rick, I just want to see your Bible. You're not reading your Bible, you're reading notes. And he said, okay, Yaku, I'll show you. So he's got very nifty notes on paper clips. Any case, that's just on the side note. Because I said, everything is great, but that one bit, it baffles me. You're reading Matthew and then Luke and John, but you didn't page. And he said, no, it's all on the sheet. Any case. And continue, he said, the things that matter most, love God, love people, Rick Rousseau. And how does that play out in your life? The loving God, the loving people. It's always these facets. And talking about business and making a difference in the community, talking to God. And then he just continues speaking about being a noble man, doing the right things at the right time. Hearing from God again. Pastor William, he started out in John, and just where Jesus walked into the temple and overthrew those temples and saying, what is going on? My house must be a house of prayer. So it's these calls of prayer coming back. It's these calls of coming back to God, all of this. So it's appropriate now that we're going to have this worship evening. We're going to spend time in God's presence, just hearing from God. But Today, I just want to quickly share a few things still in John. After Jesus overthrew those tables and he started walking, we see John baptizing people next to the in the Jordan. And then there was a debate between the disciples of John and the disciples of Jesus. So it reminds me of my house when my kids play Catan. I don't know if you know the Settlers of Catan. Man, that game can be great and it can also ruin relationships. You must play it to know. I remember we organized an evening with lots of couples. We were all there, all playing. At the end of that night, I wasn't sure whose friend, whose foe. It's like it was crazy. Some people were in tears. And true story, we didn't play Catan for many, many, many years after that. Lee said, never again. But it's a great game. You must just tell everybody when you start, we're not here to make friends. We are here to win. And it's a game. Then it's great. So even at that time, the disciples, they were just saying, but disciples of John, Jesus, he's baptizing. He's baptizing more and more and more people. And then the other guy said, no, John, but you are the one that must baptize. And now there's this quarrel going on and nobody's sure what's happening. And then John started saying to them that this is what I'm here for. I'm here to prepare the way. In John 3, I'm here to prepare the way for the one that is going to come. And this is the one that's coming. I'm prepared the way for him. He's coming. This is Jesus. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And he must increase and I must decrease. And that is this amazing scripture that I'm always referring back, and I always try to John 3 verse 30. Just telling God, Lord, help me that I will decrease, that you will increase. That I will decrease, that you will increase in my life. As we're praying about this season, what God is doing, the plans of God. Because it's so easy for us just to default again to the same old, same old. So easy to just go through the motions again. It's another day, it's another week. The kids need to get to school and maybe the car breaks and someone drives in front of you on the way to work and everything is gone. And then it's another Sunday and we come here and we sit down and we say, phew, I made it. It's great. Nice word. Okay, I just want to go out. And God is just coming and he's just reminding us all the time that I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan for us as a church, for us as a community, but also for us individually. He's speaking to us and he wants to, I believe in this season, reveal new things to us that God wants to do. Amazing things and great things. And this is now. So it's a time of just sitting at the feet of Jesus and saying the same words. Like John said, he must increase, I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. So Jesus was there, and right there when they were busy quarreling, all the disciples saying this, other ones said that, I was reminded of God's mission, this Jesus. There was a day when Jesus got into the synagogue in a temple, and he stood up and he started reading a scroll. Remember at the time the Jews, they were a little bit under persecution of the Roman Empire. It was not an easy time. It was a difficult time for them to live. And Jesus went into the synagogue and he opened the scroll of Isaiah and he started reading. And he said, Luke 4, verse 17 to 21, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. So this is true still today. And I believe this is a key that God wants to give each one of us as we think, what is this plan of God? What does he want to reveal to us? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then the eyes of everyone in that place were on Jesus, and he began by saying this. He said, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So that must have blew their minds. Him standing there, reading it, and then saying, "This is fulfilled. I'm here. And today, Jesus is still here. He gave us His Holy Spirit that's living in us and through us. And we can trust the Lord as we partner with Him, that He has anointed us to preach good news. He sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We are now walking with Jesus on the same mission. In the same way. And Jesus is saying, "I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm using my power to make right, to redeem, to restore." Tim Keller, he said, "The kingdom is the renewal of the whole world through the entrance of supernatural forces. As things are brought back under Christ's rule and authority, they are restored to health, beauty, and freedom." He's restoring, He's making new. So we can trust God for a renewal, of a restoration, for relationships, for what's ever happening in our communities, in businesses, everything. We can walk by faith and know that, "Lord, I can trust You that You are busy. Doesn't matter what is going on, what we experience." And sometimes it's difficult to know that God is still in control. It's easier when things are going well and everything is working out. But sometimes things are not going well and things are going to be difficult. And then still to hold on to God and say, "Lord, I'm walking with You and You are here. You gave me everything I need to make right, to redeem situations, to redeem stuff that's going on in my business." The amazing thing that I'll show you practically how, in the Word, the heart of Jesus. Because Him and His disciples, they continued from there and they were walking. And if we read the scripture, just in John 4, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that He was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. In fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. He left Judea and He went back once more to Galilee. Now He had to go through Samaria. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So, I don't want you to switch off, because we know the story of Jesus at the woman at the well. But before, we're just going to highlight a few things about that. I just want to show you, there's a map. Jerusalem is at the bottom. Capernaum is at the top. This Salim and Enon in the middle, that is where the baptisms took place. It's on the Jordan River. That's where they were baptizing people. Enon, it means place of water. So it's simple. There's lots of water. You call it the name of the place and we baptize. Okay. The Word says that day Jesus had to go through Samaria. Just show me the next slide. A typical journey from Jerusalem to the north in Galilee would have been to the right over the Jordan and up, not going through Samaria. Because the Jews and Samaritans, they hated each other. We heard again, Rick Rousseau also mentioned it, in the marketplace when the shadow of a Samaritan fell on your goods, you had to throw it away. If you didn't share plates, utensils, you didn't touch stuff that they touched, it was massive. It was a big divide. It was a racial divide. So there's a lot of stuff that was going on in that at the time. But Jesus, He said in the Word, "I'm only doing what the Father tells me to do." I think maybe that day Jesus was walking with disciples and He was just nudged by the Father, "Go straight through Samaria." And His disciples walking with Him, they probably were saying, "Oh, what is He doing again? And now we're going to go through here. They don't like us. And we must not be there. It's dangerous." But it's different when we are guided by God. It's different. And sometimes it's inconvenient, it's not nice, it's a bit tough. But Jesus, he's aware of everything. At the same place, just want to show you the next slide. That was the journey they took that day, straight up to Sychar, straight to Jacob's well. So why Jacob's well? Many, many, many years ago, Jacob and Isaac, Jacob, he cheated his brother. He fled to Laban, his uncle, way up in the north. And there he started to work for Laban. And he saw Rachel. He loved Rachel. He said, I'm going to work 7 years for her to marry her. So we know the story. He was working 7 years. And then they got married. I still don't know how that happened. But the next morning he realized, oops, it's Leah. It's not Rachel. So, yeah. But he really loved Rachel. And he said, I'm going to do it all over again. Another 7 years. So, yeah, that's commitment. So he worked another 7 years. And afterwards he married Rachel. And they traveled down. And he wanted to get away from his uncle Laban. He traveled. This on the next slide. It's a little bit small. But anyway, there's a line on the right. They come and they cross over the Jordan. They cross over the Jordan. I think it was Sukkah. Sukkoth was on the Jordan where they settled. The Yabbok River was there where Jacob wrestled with God. I was there in Jordan as we were driving the tour guide. He will say, just stop here. Just get out. This is the place where Jacob wrestled with the angel. And he said, okay, you want to see it? I said, yes. And he said, okay, let's just walk here, get in the car, go on. For them, the Bible is like, it's everywhere, it's around them. It's amazing just to go, to drive through that country. So Jacob and his people were camping at Sukkoth. And then at Shechem. Shechem, his dad was Hamor. So that is where they bought land from them. And they wanted to settle there. And at the time, Dinah was one of Jacob's daughters, and she got raped by Shechem. And it was very ugly. But then, after that, Shechem came to Jacob, and he said that, but I want Dinah, your daughter. I want to marry her. And then Jacob discussed with his sons, Simeon and Levi. They made a plan, and they said, but all the men must be circumcised. So while they were all circumcised, the men of Shechem, they were all in pain. These brothers came in and they killed everyone. So it's a terrible place. So that is the history of that place. That is all the stuff that was going on there at Jacob's well. So now you must imagine Jesus coming through there with his disciples. Coming into this place, maybe they were telling these stories. Maybe this was still going on. Maybe it was still the legend of the stuff that happened, the ground that's cursed, all the stuff. And Jesus comes straight into that place. And he brings us a story of forgiveness, a story of redemption, when he started speaking to the woman at the well. So that's the background of what Jesus is doing. And he walked straight up in, and a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? So many conversations start like that. Will you give me a drink? Can I buy you a drink? Okay. And she being a Samaritan, she couldn't actually give him the same cup. Because he's a Jew. And he's a man speaking to a woman. He's jumping across all the social, racial, all the boundaries. And the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So that might have been a bit weird for her. But he's making her curious. And she's now saying, what's going on here? Why is he saying these things? And then the women are always practical. She said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. The water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And just there's this conversation going on, but there's a lot of stuff happening there. It's noon. It's the time where all the women will go out to draw water. And she's there by herself. So immediately we must think, why is she going out by herself? Why is she alone? Why is she not with the others? Maybe she's already got, they pushed her aside. She's on her own. Nobody cares about her. She's fighting her own battles. She's got this whole history, and the people don't like her. She's not having friends. And there's this woman, and everything of the time tells us that Jesus got, he doesn't have to speak to her. He doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to give her any attention, anything. And he's doing it. And this for me is a great example of the things that God wants to do through me and you as well. Where he said, doesn't matter the stuff that's going on, the barriers that we've put up and our defenses and everything. When I'm going to step in, I want to do amazing work in and through us. And are we prepared to just to follow Jesus? Are we prepared to hear from him and to take his word and just to walk with it? And then to see what's going to happen and to respond to this word. Because the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." He said, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. So someone said that when Jesus asked her, "Go call your husband," she said, "I've got no husband." Maybe she was expecting, okay, so now he's going to say, "Okay, but let's do that water. Let's get to know. I want to get to know you a bit better, and let's spend some time together." And that's maybe what happened in the past, where the guys took advantage of her. They realized she's not with anyone. She's all by herself. But then Jesus said, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And then she changed the subject because it's getting a bit personal. And he said, "You are right when you say, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And amazingly, this piece that Jesus shared about worship, I'm going to read now, it's not shared anywhere else. He shared it with a Samaritan woman in Samaria at the well. And he said, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." And then she said, I know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I am he." And Jesus will always come to the broken. He will always come to the needy. He will always come to the outcast and connect with them. He will always show love to everyone, the same measure of love. Jesus will always make a plan to connect from his holiness to our brokenness, to make a breach, to come over. And these are the kind of plans that God's wanna reveal to us. These kind of things where we will see, "Wow, Lord, this is just amazing what you are doing. This is amazing how you're preparing the way." Remember, Jesus didn't condone what she was doing, but he didn't condemn her. He didn't speak down on her. He didn't cast her out, even though he had every right to do so. He just shared this wisdom with her. He shared truth with her and extended love to her. And that is what it did. And I believe the Lord also want to come and give us these experiences. He want to give us new plans. You remember the A-team? No, this is not, come on, you remember the A-team? Hannibal and I think Face and Murdoch and B.A. Baracus or something like that. So Hannibal, I love it when a plan comes together. That was his thing. I think it's just another slogan he got from the Lord. I think God must say, I love it when my plans come together. I love it when my people partner with me and they go out. I love it when those plans come together. I love it when there's someone that say, yes, Lord, speak to me, show me something new, Lord. And someone that's saying, yes, I will walk with you, God. Because there are times when it will be difficult. There's times when maybe like this, where Jesus will come and show us something and we think, no, Lord, I want to take the other route. I want to take the normal route. I want to go over the river and straight up. And it's amazing. I will just speak to you, and it's amazing this relationship that we have. But going straight through Samaria, that's a tough one. Maybe the disciples, they were also moaning. But in that, when they just decided to walk with the Lord and to trust Him, this amazing thing happened. And Jesus is starting opening up, and He reveals this truth about worship to the Samaritan woman. And still today, this is the thing that we hold on to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. With the Lord in worship, just want to come and connect with our hearts. This is the stuff that we hold on to. And this is what we want for each one of us. I believe the Lord is putting that invitation on the table. The amazing thing that happened after that is Jesus not only reached the woman. He said, just then his disciple returned and was surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Why are you talking with her? But the woman went back into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and they all spoke to Jesus. And then in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony that she said, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. So Jesus stayed another 2 days in Samaria. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said this amazing thing, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And that is what I believe is the heart of Jesus, where each one will say, I've heard. That each one will say, I've experienced Jesus for myself. Each one will have their own revelation. Because else we can share, and it's good to share the word, and to share the love of Jesus. But ultimately, we want each one to say, wow, I've heard his voice. I know this is what God is, his heart for me. This is what he said to me. This is how he touched me. A personal testimony for each one of us and for everyone out there. And that's the amazing thing. I remember the moments that God really touched my life, where he spoke into my life. It's times when it just happened that it's times when I put aside everything else and I said, Lord, I'm just going to be here with you. I'm just going to spend time with you. I'm just going to walk. The one time in Stellenbosch, I was just walking the streets at night. And I said, Lord, I need to make a big decision. I need to hear your voice. And I was just walking and walking and walking. And yeah, that Groen route, or what? There's a security route. It's safer on that route than anywhere else. Anyway, it's just a tip. So I was just walking and walking and walking. And after an hour, after 2 hours, I felt that nothing can come from this. Or it feels like God is just silent. And I looked up into the sky and I just see a shooting star. And I just felt the Lord telling me, if you want to see a shooting star, you need to look at the sky. You need to look at the stars. if you want to hear me, just spend time with me. Look at me. Some or other time I will answer you. But keep on looking. So that brought peace in my heart. I went back to my room. And I thought, okay, this is it for tonight. And I had a little book. I opened the book and it just said, there the Lord needs you in bold. So I was praying about something, if I must go there or not. And that was my answer. Just after I decided, okay, Lord, the Lord is not going to say something tonight. And that really spoke to me and he directed my life that evening. But I think that's still the invitation for each one of us today. If you want to hear God's voice, if you want to see Him, spend time, keep on looking to Him. Keep on, keep on. Courtney Becker, just last year before I finish off, a few years back he was here, I think he mentioned it at conference or maybe just in passing by. He said that some of his friends, they came to him and they said, you must put up your Facebook page and you must make this old, you must build your brand that people can know Courtney Becker, Dr. Courtney Becker from Regent University. And these people were all about him all the time. They're just coming to him and say, build your brand. It's all about you. He said, at that moment, he said, I never felt so close to the devil than ever before. So it's just him personal. It's not a doctor or anything. And he said that just wanted him to proclaim himself all the time. And he said that's one of the biggest things, the love of distinction, as he called it. The love to stand out. The love to be important. The love to be different. And he said often that's the case when we're walking with the Lord, we hear His voice, we're doing these amazing things that God has revealed to us, but somewhere there's a shift where it's not about God anymore, it's about ourselves and about what I can achieve and to be important and to be known. And he just said that is for him. That is that's a warning. That's when the red lights go on, where it's more important what the people are saying about me than about God. Or when you think, this is what I want to achieve. This is what I want to get out of this. And many, many men of God has fallen where they say they steal the glory of God. They become glory thieves. So I just want to put it out there because I'm really excited about the season. I'm excited about what God is doing, God speaking to us. But let us be known of us that we are here to give glory to God, that we are here to make God's name great, that we are here to give Him all the glory, where it's not about us. It's not about us. And the other thing that often happens, I know also in my own life, we forget. We forget the difficult times. We forget what God has done. We forget the testimonies. We forget the times I've got times when I was stood on mountains, stood on the beach, everywhere, crying on my bed, late at night, desperate for the Lord, desperate for a touch of God, desperate for the Lord to touch me, to show me something, to come through for me. And then there's amazing testimonies, but sometimes we forget. And it's almost like the cycle just repeats itself. We get in a similar situation and we start all over. Instead of saying that, Lord, I've got to know Your faithfulness. I know You, Lord. I through the years, I got to know Your heart. I know You are faithful, You are just, You are good. I know You are with me. It's not always easy, but there's a thing that God is almost building some momentum in us. And the invitation is there. The thing is that we must remember. We must remember what the Lord has done. 10 commandments, the first thing is, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. Remember what I have done. Remember who I am. Almighty God. Almighty King. And if we can remember that, who God is and what He wants to do, and if we can just live to give Him glory, then we will have that great stories, the great testimonies, the great plans. Then we will see how God will come and set people free. He will do amazing things in our lives, and He will do things in our community, and He will change, because that is His business, to redeem, to make right, to restore. That is the business of Jesus. That is what He's here for, and that is what He's empowered us to do as well. And then Jesus will say that, I love the plan. I love how this plan has come together for Yaku, for Peter, for Nastasia, for each one of us, for Gustav, for Samuel. I love how my plan is coming together for Shofar Somerset West. I love how my plan is coming together for the Helderberg. I just love it. So I'm gonna pray for us, and we're going to take communion. And I just want us this morning to lay down our lives, surrender, whatever that means in your context. Whatever is distracting you, whatever is that burden on your life at the moment, the thing that you don't know how I'm going to get over this hurdle. I want us just to take a moment and say, as we take communion, say, Lord, I'm laying it down before you, Lord. And I need you to come in. Show me. Show me again. Nudge me. Show me what you want to do. Because we want to partner with you, Lord, and we are partnering with God. But on this journey, this the first step is just a surrender. Saying, Lord, you are the Almighty God, and we live for you, God, to glorify your name. I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in this place, that we can know that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, you know each one of us as we're sitting here, Lord. You know our past, you know our future, you know everything. You know the plans that you have for us, but more of, you know where we are right now. You know those battles that we fight in our minds, things that we battle with, the things that we really struggle with, the things that we don't know how it's going to come to pass. And then there's all the stuff where we think about the communities and what you're putting on our heart, Lord. But thank you, Father, that you are the one, that you want to come and make sense of it all. You want to give clarity and wisdom. Thank you, Father, that you want to speak to us. Thank you that we can hear your voice. I pray that each one of us, that we will really take time, Lord, to hear your voice. That we will really put in the time to just sit at your feet. If it means to walk on the beach or whatever our context. To wake up early in the morning, and sit with our tea, walk on the beach, climb a mountain, sitting in our favorite chair, park our car next to the road and just look out over the Helderberg. Whatever it means for us, Lord, we say, speak to us, Lord. Show us again, Lord. But thank you, Father, that no one has to be ashamed this morning. No one can feel that they're not good enough. Because you went straight to a Samaritan woman. You changed her life, and then you changed the whole village. Everyone came to you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm just going to ask Josh to come play for us. Just go over there. There's some grape juice. You guys can just go and get some communion and then come back here and then we'll continue.
Yeah, I just want to share something quick. During intercession this morning, like God said exactly basically what Yaku said now, is He said, I am restoring your vision back to my kingdom. And I just felt like God is saying that He's restoring our vision back to His kingdom coming, back to His plans coming. And so it just felt like a lot of us are tired of praying into things and circumstances, and we don't see an effect and we don't see change come. And I just felt like God is saying, you're worshiping your circumstances, and it's time for you to start partnering with what I'm busy with, because my kingdom is coming and I want to do things with and through you, and I am busy doing things. And I just felt like he's saying that there are good works prepared for each of us every single day. And I felt like, you know those times when you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying something to you and you feel like, I don't know if this is God, but I'm gonna respond to this and just hope that this is God. I'm gonna say this to this person, or I'm gonna do this thing that I feel like God is saying. And then God shows up and it's the highlight of your week or whatever. And I felt like God is saying, that's what it looks like to partner with me in my kingdom coming. That's what it looks like. And I felt there's a massive shift coming where we stop waiting and glorifying our circumstances, that or maybe we're waiting for things to happen, and it's time we start responding to the words of Holy Spirit every day. He has little things every day that he has planned for you to walk in, and when you start responding in faith, I just felt like we're going to align with his kingdom coming in Somerset West.
Just as we pray now, I was just reminded Moses. Remember Moses, he saw the Israelites and they were crying out and they worked really hard, and it was the slavery under the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And then he took matters in his own hand and he killed the Egyptian. And then he ran away, and later on God came and met him there in the desert 40 years later, and brought him back, and he said, I want to set my people free. That thing was birthed in his heart many, many years ago. He was actually hearing God, I think. And he was responding to something that God has put on his heart. But he heard it, and then he just stepped out in his own way. And he did his own thing. And I believe that's part of the thing. As we pray, say, Lord, this is what's stirring in my heart. But now I want to know your way. I want to know your instruction. Then it was actually overwhelming, because God came and just did this amazing thing. And he said, I am the one that goes before you, and I will bring them out. You must just be my man on the ground. Everything that happened after that. So as we pray, also think about those things that's stirring on your heart. Say, Lord, give me your plan. I mean, just pray together for a moment. Let's just stand. We're just going to sing another song. And as we bring our hearts before the Lord, I know that for some it's maybe difficult to imagine a plan or a new word from the Lord. But I believe it's something that we need to press into and just continue and to say, Lord, come and stir my heart again. Come and shake me, or change something, or just keep on speaking to the Lord. Keep on engaging, even though it's difficult, even maybe sometimes we don't feel like it. Or we say, there's just so much stuff going on and we don't have time. Let us just press into what God has for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. Once again, thank you, Lord, for your dedication towards us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your heart to set us free, Lord. To bring liberty to the captives. Lord, thank you for your heart to save, Lord, your heart to redeem, your heart to make right. This morning, Lord, say, I put up my hand, Lord, we put up our hands, Lord, just to walk with you, Lord. Help us. Help us to walk with you, Lord. And as we go from here, Lord, it's just an extension from this morning into the week and coming back. Thank you, Father, that all of this is a life that we walk with you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to say, if you maybe there's something in your life, a difficult situation or something, you just want to pray with someone, you're welcome to respond or to come forward. Maybe you just want to hear a word, or you're just praying about these things, you're not sure what to do. We would love to pray with you and to trust the Lord with you for that word from God that will change your life. Else, please fellowship with us. And if you're new, then in the guest corner, we would love to meet you. See you again. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.